Namaskar and Jai Hind. Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and a podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. We're now in season 4 of our show and have over 1,600 recordings for you, which you can see at www.tvcy.in. Today is my privilege to welcome Mr. Sandeep Kumar Maini, Chairman of Maini Group. Sandeep is an industrial and production engineer from Manipal Institute of Technology. Sandeep started his career in Maini Group in 1989. In 2007, he took over as the chairman of the Maini Group. The group consists of companies that have domestic and international operations in the fields of automotive, aerospace, material handling, warehousing, storage solution, plastics and composites, electric and autonomous mobility solutions. Maini Group was also the founder and promoter of Reva, India's first electric car. Sandeep was also chairman of Karnataka, of CII for Karnataka State, and is presently the regional chair for YPO Gold South Asia. Sandeep is also honorary counsel for Mexico, for Karnataka and Telangana. His list of accomplishments are long. I can just go on and on, but I'd like to pause here and welcome him to the show. Sandeep, welcome to TBCY.
Thank you very much, Shesh. Pleasure and a privilege to be here.
Welcome. Thank you. Sandeep, you know, when I was reading through your profile, something very interesting stuck to me. And that is, you started in 1989 with Maini Group. And just about that time in 1989-90 is when India just took a big turn. Okay. And the last 32 years have been a significant part of new India, you know, where India as a country has evolved and changed a lot. And you've been part of this, right? You started and the India Growth Story started. You both have run parallel. I want you to talk to us about what has these 32 years meant to you as an individual, what it has been for Maini Group, and how do you see and relate it to the growth story of India?
Jesh, to do this, I need to go back to a little bit of story on when Maini Group started and why did it start? Because I think it has great relevance to the question you asked me. It was started by my father in 1973 with two objectives in mind. In 1973, India was not known in the world. It was known as a land of snakes and elephants, not for engineering, not for manufacturing. And when my father started this company, he had two objectives. One, to give as much employment to those who were unable to get employment because of economic conditions. And two, to take Indian engineering to the world. They were very difficult targets at that time. In 73, India had not opened up, the economy was closed, there was license raj, there were so many things happening, but he took that bold step at that time. And in 82, we became the first company in the country to export to General Motors and then to Bosch worldwide. So we had a lot of these achievements. And the trend started at that time. But when I joined in 89, fortunately for me, a lot of good work had been done to set the space. And in 91, when the economy opened up, it was like a 70 millimeter screen for me. You know, it was all there and either I had to make it a success or a failure, it was in my hands. And it meant a lot. It meant a lot because emotionally and qualitatively, it meant that it gave me a great chance to fulfill the objectives of my father of taking engineering to the world, what he started and what he had done in a very difficult time. And he made it happen at that time. Two, it gave us vast possibilities to think out of the box because now India had opened up. And what you saw when you went to the US, what you saw when you were in Europe, now could become a reality in India if you just did the right things. So in a way, I was fortunate. I was fortunate to get into the business just before it opened up and have this large landscape in front of me, you know, for me to decide how I'd like to paint it.
So, while I know the setting was right, the whole landscape, everything was laid, you got into the business at the right time. But those were the crucial times when the company, Maini Group grew. You know, you were one of those companies who were working and you had partnerships with many large, global corporates. And you got, so which were the industries first you picked on and why?
So we decided that if we were to make a mark, right, we need to pick companies that were the best companies in the world. Because at that time, we could do a lot in India, like lots of we doing, but how would we grow and become renowned in the world? And therefore we picked Bosch, which all of us know is a global company in technology and in every other activity that it does. And in those days, the number one company in automotive was General Motors.
Right.
said, if we are able to accomplish getting into these two companies to supply 10,000 miles away on a logistics front, which says just in time, the right thing, then we would have set the base for the future. Right. So we worked very hard to be able to get this. And I'll give you a quick incident. It was very difficult to get people to India at that time. There was so much of cynicism. How do I get someone to see my factory and to see what we do? Because right. India did not enjoy this position that it enjoys today. So we went to General Motors with two tickets and said, listen, these are the two tickets for you to come to India and spend 2 days with us. If you like us and you'd like to do business with us, please pay us for these tickets.
Right.
And in case you find that this visit was futile and that we are not capable of being able to do what you do,
right?
Then fly back and we are sorry for the time that we took.
Right.
And General Motors flew down for 2 days. Of course, they didn't take the tickets. How we spoke to them. And they spent 2 days with us and decided to sign up.
Right.
And I think that pull of General Motors and Bosch really got us going and gave us the confidence on the international arena. And over time, we were 90% our business was international, while today it's 70-30. Over time, we have de-risked, we've diversified, but that was it. We told the same thing to Bosch. We gave the components to them and said, you don't like it, throw it in the River Rhine and forget that we ever came to you. Right. So I think that led us to get into the international arena. It gave us the confidence. Our first auto show, we went in Frankfurt, the Frankfurt Messe. We did not have a single visitor for 3 days into our stall. It is the most frustrating experience we had. Nobody entered our stall when we were showing the best components. Nobody. After the third day, we decided to write a note in our stall and we walked to every other stall. And we started marketing in each stall and requested them to come to our stall. And we brought people into our stall by actually going there because nobody came to our stall. 15 years later, when we went to the same Frankfurt Auto Show, we didn't have time to meet the number of people who came to our stall.
Wow.
Right? And that's what you saw the progress of India from 1989, to 2000,
right.
And what we did achieve because of this complete change in scenario of what we try to project or what we can do, and we successfully did it. So for me and my brothers, this was something that was opening up for us and said, listen, the sky is the limit, but whatever we do, let's make sure of one thing, that at no point of time do we sully India's reputation. Because in those days, Shesh, everyone who came always said this, Indians promise, they don't do it. India say they'll give it on this date, they always have excuses for giving it later. They blame things which they believe are not in their control.
Right.
We decided to say, listen, we have to take control of everything and we have to give delivered quantity, quality at the right price. And therefore we christened ourselves as reliable people. We didn't talk quality. We didn't talk cost. We said we are reliable and you can sleep peacefully at night. And that's the reputation of India that we wanted to take outside. and did not want to sully it. So there are many orders we didn't take if we believe we didn't have the bandwidth. And that's how we built our reputation on reliability.
Superb. You know, Sandeep, I hear you use the word we a lot very extensively. And I want to tell our viewers that your biggest guru inspiration has been Mr. Sudarshan Meni, your father, you know, and who was the champion of champions. And do tell him what it was to work with him and get this very crucial, you know, insight and experience. When you say 3 days, nobody walks in, you walk into General Motors to have the courage, say, here are the 2 tickets. We would like to invite you, come, you don't like it, you know, you forget it, you ever met us, or you throw our parts in the Rhine River. These are all very out of the box, very radical way of looking at it. Something which, you know, business schools will never, ever teach you. So true. Throw us a little light and talk to us about your experience of working with your father and growing under, you know, learning the ropes of the business from him.
You know, there are many such, and I remember him fondly for many, but let me tell you my first advice I got from him. That when I joined the business, 13th of May, 1989, right, when I was going to the workplace for the first time, I asked my father that what is the one advice you would give me that I'm starting on? What is the one advice? And strangely enough, I didn't realize the importance of the advice till many years later. But he said to me that whatever you do as you start your business today, make sure that you are fair to everybody you deal with. Super. He just made one line. He says, make sure you are fair to everyone you deal with. Your employees, your customers, your suppliers, your stakeholders. It could be anyone. Right? When you finish your career, no one should turn around and say that Sandeep was unfair to me. He may have been tough. You know, he may have been a tough taskmaster. He may have fired me. He may have done anything. But he was never unfair to me. And pass this on to our company that the mining group should have a reputation that they're good business people, they're good technocrats, they're good partners, never unfair to anybody. And I have followed that dictatorship, and it kind of takes a big universe. It's much beyond what he told me. You know, fairness is a simple word, but it was way beyond that. Whether we had our joint venture partnerships, whether we tied up with supply chains. And I'll give you a simple example to justify that in my personal experience. We were in a stage at one point of time where steel was not available.
Right.
It was just not available. People were paying very high rates of steel, and we had commitments, export commitments. And as I just told you, we had to be reliable. And right. I was running helter-skelter along with my brother to get steel so that we could maintain our schedules. And we were not getting it. And I went to one steel supplier and I said, listen, whatever you want, I'll give you. But you must give me steel. You know what he replied? He said, Sandeep, I will give you everything you need. You just have to ask me. Because 15 years ago, when no one in this industry helped us steel traders when we were in deep trouble, the only one person who helped was your father. And the Miney Group did that.
Right.
And he paid us well ahead in time and said, don't worry. I have the money today. I will pay you. I may be in trouble one day. Maybe you will help me. Right. He says the steel industry hasn't forgotten what Mr. Miney did.
Super.
He was more than fair to us. And today, you may not have liquidity. You may not have steel supplies. You don't worry. We know our money is safe with the mining group. You tell us how much steel you want, we'll get it for you. And I was able to maintain all our schedules for exports only because of this one instance.
Superb.
So, you know, it turns around. It comes back to you sometime. And that's when I realized the importance of the advice my father gave. Because he was practicing it. And I didn't realize it.
No, you are so right. I think what there is a saying, what goes around comes around. So I think if you sow the right thing, you will reap the right thing. So I think he obviously is a great value. You know, but I must, just dwelling on you, you made a brief mention about you and your brothers. I see all three of you as well, you know, are very focused, very committed, with hold some great values. And you demonstrate that. And you, if anybody were to sit and talk to Gautam or to Chetan, or to you, you all demonstrate that and you practice that. And I've seen that, you know, in all my interactions with all of you, that how you people are committed to every relationship you undertake and engage in. So which is, I must tell you, hats off to you people. I think I must, you know, say that because I've engaged with you people and I've seen that experience. I must come to a very interesting thing. Fast forward. In the last 8-10 years, Government of India has laid enormous emphasis on Make in India. Okay, and it is the buzzword, it is the mantra, and we are seeing the results of that. A lot of industries in India are investing extensively, they're all expanding capacities. A lot of things are happening, many things which you could never ever think of being manufactured here. And you guys are a classic example. You guys are in aerospace, you got in, you know, many materials is your other division, where you do diverse set of things. Talk to us about it. What does this mean to you people? How has it changed your life? How has it impacted? And what does it mean? And what has been, you know, how do you see this whole thing evolving and growing?
Shish, like I said, in 1973, when my father started and he wanted to export, he already had this mantra to make in India for the world. You know, we were 90% international business. We were making for everybody. What happened in the last 10 years just kind of endorsed what we built the mining group on, but it just gave us tremendous new energy that, listen, with these opportunities now going to such a large extent, what can we do? And the important thing for us was to see that, is the mining group today relevant both in India and abroad with the businesses and the legacy businesses that we had? And what should we do to capitalize on what the new India is all about and how internationally the companies and the countries look at India? So we did a very interesting exercise about 10 years ago to 12 years ago, Shesh, where we decided to look at all our companies again and see what would be the businesses of the next decade. Right? And are we in those businesses or are we getting to ready in those businesses? And does it follow the Made in India theme? That will help us to grow not only domestically, but internationally as well. We were hardcore manufacturing always, and we used to supply, manufacture, design, etc. But we need to build in technology that we could use across the world. So, and were there any businesses where we were in which had become commoditized, which now no longer had relevance for us in the years to come? And we restructured our companies with this theme in mind. Right? And therefore we went into what should, from a product company, we went to a solution company. And under solution, we built technology, which was appropriate. So that's how now our group has six wings. One, aerospace and automotive, which, as you know today, and everyone knows, Made in India is a big, big, big mantra for that. And aerospace, you know, every single international aerospace company is coming to India and wanting to do it. Even under the new strategy, like they say, China plus one strategy example. So a lot of that business is going to come here. And we decided to build this in the last 12 years. Unfortunately, we did a pretty good job at it. And we are on the cusp to be able to work with these contracts with international companies. The second area was mobility. Mobility linked to sustainability, green energy, etc. We were already in electric material handling equipment in 1984. We were the first ones to bring it here. But that was a product, and things were going well beyond that. We had made the first electric car in 1999. So we had the history of experience and technology behind us, plus the learnings from the failures we had. So how did we want to convert this? So we decided we'll go into mobility, sustainability, but this time with a small difference that we'll also build the technology behind it to a large extent. And therefore, we went into the wings of mobility, electric mobility in different areas. The third area was we saw that India, with the advent of GST, was going to be a large footprint of warehousing, automation in warehousing, etc. And therefore, we decided that, okay, let's get into the warehousing business. It complements material handling, but with GST, footprints will become very large. We'll have to do automation, and that goes into the automation technology. And finally, we said we have all this in place. We have the platforms, we have the technology. AI, IoT, autonomous vehicles will be the future. We do make implant equipments for airports. We make it for residences. We make it for so many. Let's make it autonomous. And that's the technology. So today, Shesh, with what we are looking at with this Made in India mantra is electric vehicle with sustainability, autonomous vehicles, warehouse and automation in warehousing, defense and aerospace and automotive. So if you look at this band today, we have kind of got into what we believe now will continue to the business in the not next decade, but maybe next two decades. But we built it on a foundation of technology and solutions with which we can go global. And we've had people now coming to us in all these aspects of business. Again, like I said in the beginning, it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us how we take it forward, how we make our efforts to move it forward.
Right. So, you know, there are two schools of thoughts. And I think the dominant part is India's got a great story ahead. And there are many people who are backing that whole belief system. But still, if you were to sit there and see as an industry, what do you think are the our challenges? What are the challenges of industries in India? We still have a long way to go as compared to China. China plus one Europe is talking about it very extensively. US is talking about it. Everybody wants to be is promoting that mindset in a very extensive way. But sitting here in India, how do you see it, and what do you think are our challenges? You know, what frustrates you or what keeps you awake from that point of view?
Shesh, number one, I think let's understand that 90% to more than that of the manufacturing business, which I'm aware of more than generally other sectors, as you know, belongs to the MSME sector.
Right.
You know, they are the wheels of the economy in India and manufacturing. And therefore, if you want to talk about what are the challenges, I would like to concentrate on this segment of industry rather than go to the guys who are very, very big, because they have a different set of challenges. The biggest challenge for the MSMEs today is a mindset of growth and risk-taking. So I'm going to take an inward challenge and an outward challenge. The inward challenge is the mindset and risk-taking, right? In relation to what can happen if they went. And that is coming mainly because of internal challenges that we face of capital. Today in India, if you leave aside VC funding, private equity funding, etc., you know, getting debt from banks, getting capital in time, getting the necessary capital without collaterals, etc., is very, very difficult, right? So the biggest challenge that MSMEs face and industry faces today is that access to capital, right, to the extent you want to grow, right, is very difficult, right? Even today, even though we say a lot of things have changed and there are a lot of, but it's still, if you go down to the base and you ask people, this is a big challenge that we have. Right. Two, and the second challenge is, like we all say, in various concerns, is the ease of doing business. although the ease of doing business index in the country has increased tremendously, right? When you do not have an organization, when you do not have people, and the single entrepreneur has to do everything, it's not so easy to be able to do that. And believe me, I've gone through that. Today, fortunately, I don't have those challenges per se, but I can be very sensitive to those who are starting new and who know how to do it.
Right.
The third area is, and this is something which most people don't look at it, but it's our mindset of not opening out to potential mentors and advisors. I have been a very big proponent as we were growing, and you know this, Shesh, because we've talked about it, to reach out to people who have strengths, to reach out to people who are willing to support and help you and give you ideas, because one is not capable of doing everything themselves. I think our Indian industry looks very much inclusively. They look inwards and say, how do I grow this business? What do I do here? I have a problem in marketing. I have a problem in finance. And their minds are completely occupied with these problems. What we've tried to do in various sessions, industry sessions, is saying, listen, there are people out there who are willing to help. There are people who've been successful. Expose your vulnerability, talk freely about it, and take inputs that can help you. And I have done that from my experience. We were a very small company when we got an external board. We got advisors. They could have been friends. They could have been industry stalwarts. They could have been well-wishers. But I have always done this. And I think it has helped me and my brothers and our company to grow from the size we were to where we are today. And I would attribute a lot to these open brainstormings we had with those who had far more knowledge and experience than us. And in India, if you look at a typical entrepreneur who's very good, either a technocrat or, you know, in marketing, finance, whatever it is, he or she hesitates to go outside.
Right.
For me, somehow, you know, I would not like to go into the general issues that exist in a country. We talk about infrastructure, we talk about everything. But India is different. The interest rates are different. The economies of scale have not come up yet. The domestic market is not good as China. It's easy to say that China has thought 15 ahead and built this entire infrastructure and created a plan. But they have a different governmental system. We have a different system. And I said, in spite of that, Shesh, we all know how in the last 10 years we've moved from the 10th largest economy to now the fifth, and hopefully soon to the third. The maximum FDI has come into our country. What is happening? Everything is happening in India. So there are a lot of good things to look at it. And I think our manufacturing teams, etc., should look into the positive aspect of it. Today, if you asked me this question 15 years ago, I would have given you a host of answers of what gives me sleepless nights.
Right.
If you ask me today, the industry part, how to grow it, what to do, doesn't give me sleepless nights. What gives me sleepless nights today is how to continuously make sure that our companies are relevant, because the life cycle of our products and solutions have changed from what used to be 20 years to 5 years. Right. And I'm not used to thinking 5 years, and I have to start thinking two years and making changes. And that is a change in my mindset, right? That gives me sleepless nights. It's a positive area that how can I continuously be relevant?
Sandeep, that brings me to a very interesting point. You guys were, you championed electric car movement in this country, Reba. Okay, you were the first guys. You people sold it to Mahindra and then you exited. Now, I want to know, why did you? Because it was somewhere on the card, the game, the platform was changing. You people exited. Why did you exit? Why did you not choose to champion this on your own or, you know, take it forward? So just a little thought.
Very quickly, Shesh, when we started this project in 1999, actually, we never wanted to make a car.
Right.
We wanted to create technology for electric vehicles that we could share with the big players in the country and globally. And we wanted them to go into the market with mobility because we didn't know how to make a car. They knew how to make a car. They knew how to make two-wheelers. So we wanted to be create the technology. Unfortunately, at that point of time, we were probably way, way ahead of our time. And most of them were not looking in this direction. So we got no suitor who wanted to try out our technology. So default was, okay, there's no one, let's do it ourselves. And there was a huge process of learning of how to make a car, what to do, et cetera, which we did. We enjoyed the process. We had lots of failures. We lost a lot of money, but we enjoyed this entire process because our higher objective was to give our grandchildren a better place to stay than we got or we inherited. And we saw what was happening with climate change.
Right.
Cut later to how we, what decision we took. The decision we took was because we had reached a stage where we believed that our higher objective would not be met by us in a small, in the time that we wanted to do it, because now globally it was gaining momentum, you needed deep pockets. But we always had our high objective, and if we couldn't do it, we wanted someone else to do it. We didn't want it to die a death, right? So while it was a very difficult emotional decision, I thought we found an excellent worthwhile partner in Mahindra's who shared our values, who also respected us for what we had done. And I learned a very important thing from Mr. Anand Mahindra when we met in these various discussions. He spoke to us as a family and he said, you know, I don't know what Mahindra's will give to Maini with their brand name. But I think that Maini's brand name to Mahindra's with Reva will be far more valuable. Now, this is of simplicity and humility from a person who was running a huge conglomerate. And he gave us that due respect. And in return, in our own Indian ethos and custom, all we told him was, we're giving you our daughter and daughter. And we know one day she'll be separated from us, right? And she will live a new life. But in no way will we be disconnected ever.
Right.
And I think that was what happened. And we thought we found the right person to take it forward because we were not able to do it. And the realization when you know that, listen, it's time for you to move on and take the right decision, however difficult it was a realization for we three brothers when we took that decision. It was very difficult, very, very difficult for us. It was named after my mother. You know, it was, everything was within the family. But it was important, and I'm glad in hindsight we did it.
Superb. So if you were to look back, I have two questions, but I'll ask you the first one. If you were to look back and say, in this 32 years of your work life, from 1989 to now, what would you attribute to have been your biggest success? If you were to name one, what would be the one you'll put it right on the top and say, this was my, you know, the moment?
My biggest success was to ensure togetherness of we three brothers in a business. Mm-hmm. I think all other successes that we've had is because of this. I don't think we would have had any other success if we three were not together.
Right.
We were a second generation family business. We had no legacy of family business.
Mm.
It was up to us to create a legacy of togetherness, of oneness, through difficult times, good times, etc. If you ask me today, so many years later, we three brothers work together. We are aligned in our thoughts. And this leads to all our other successes, but also helps us to work together when we have a failure and come out of it.
Right.
So to me, Shesh, today, I don't know whether this is what you expected, but this is my biggest success.
No, I think it's a very profound statement. You know, I it's a very big thing. A lot of family businesses today are, you know, they're all working to making it a corporate, corporatizing it, and also but managing the relationship within the families. And many people have not had the success like what you people have had. It's a great thing. And it's a very big, people write constitutions, they have outside consultants working with them, and they're doing whatnot to get the whole story and the narrative to keep it intact and get the whole, you know, the herd move together. So it's very interesting. So if you were to say, you, when you make that statement, is all of you being together, any one thing which I think was a biggest contributor for you people to, you know, which made each one of you look in the same direction together?
There were two, I think. I think, you know, first, of course, it was the values that my father brought into us and made us grow with those values. I think we inherited a lot of his values of togetherness, etc. And the second, which I would say, is that, you know, by being the eldest, I was given responsibilities very early, both for the family and for this. But it wouldn't have happened if I didn't have the respect and the love of my two brothers. You know, they looked at me and they looked up to me after my father said that I would take over. And they appreciated the responsibility I had taken and became the support structure for us to become equals in what we do. And I think that the only difference is I could be one among the equals, I could take certain decisions, but I think that was a contributing factor. But if you permit me, Shesh, you use the word constitution. And I want to bring that up because I attended a lot of family business councils when I was young. And I came to my father one day and I asked him, I said, listen, we are growing and we will have children tomorrow. Do you think we should have a constitution? And this was in presence of my brothers. And my father held our three hands together. And he told me, he says, my constitution is written because three of you are together. Right. I don't need to write a constitution. I don't intend to run this family or this business from my grave. Right? I'm done. He said, you three are together. I don't need a constitution. Three of you decide what you want to do for your children and whether you believe you need a constitution.
Right.
Going forward. Right?
Super.
And I thought it was very profound where a lot of people and generations, and for good reasons and no judgments on that, you know, think of various elements going ahead. In this ever-changing business, we don't even know whether children want to work with us or we don't want to work with us.
Right.
You know, it just said, and he said, tell your children, you do it for your children. Let your children do it for their children. Have a stop somewhere. This was always in my mind. So actually, Shesh, we never wrote a constitution. We just meet every 1 month. We spend the whole day together. And we go on to the next month and we decide what we want to do together.
Super. Fantastic. Awesome. Awesome. Great to hear, you know, the story. One last question I have for you. We're a little running out of time, but I just want to ask you, you know, through every journey, there are certain regrets. People think I possibly could have done this better, or I did not do what I set out to achieve. There are failures, regrets associated with it. Would you have anything like that? Would you have a regret? And would you, if you have one, what was your learning from it?
Well, Shesh, I don't know whether it's a regret, but tremendous learnings is that I think in hindsight, we held on to businesses for too long for emotional reasons. If we looked at a business from a purely business reason, right? You know, there's a certain amount of profitability, they're sharing to your stakeholders, X, Y, Z. I think we believed in our business so much that we kept giving it another chance in the various businesses we did. Ultimately, a few of the businesses we had to shut or we had to sell off while the others were doing very well and these businesses were supporting it. But I think the decision to do it from emotional reasons, we took too long, Shesh. And right. What happened because of that, it kind of stunted the growth of the businesses that were doing well. Right. Because these businesses were supporting the businesses that were not doing well. So right. If we had shut off that tap earlier, you know, we may have grown more, we may have had more holistic growth. Right. and less challenges in closing, because the later you take to close a company, the challenges are even more and it becomes very difficult. I think the biggest learning for three of us has been now is that every year we see the trend of every company. We see the trend of the sector. We see the trend and say, listen, if the trend is going downwards, if we are not able to bring this up, let's take decisions now before it's too late.
Right. Interesting. Sandeep, thank you very much. I think this has been a wonderful conversation. We can just go on and on. There is so much more. You have a way of telling a story, and I think it's very compelling, very interesting. We can do it. We can spend another few hours doing this. And I look forward to connecting back with you at the later date and, discussing and taking this discussion to the second round, as we say in our space. But thank you very much for your time. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us and wishing you great success in the years ahead.
Thank you, Shesh. Thanks for the opportunity. You made me think a little deeper what I haven't done for so many years. So mental notes have been made and I'm going to use them also. So appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity, Shesh.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.